on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light's switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
And at 21:11, John Brash joins us to see what's happening in the greyhound racing world. Good morning, John.
Good morning to you, Sean. Good morning, everyone. Yes, it's been a big weekend as far as greyhound racing is concerned. We had the big three at the Meadows in Melbourne on Saturday night, the Tem Lee, the Rookie Rebel and the Zoom Top. We had the Heats of the Bulleye Cup there on Saturday night at Bulleye, I should say. The semi-finals of the Vince Curry in Queensland, the Ballarat Oaks and Derby. And tonight we look forward to the final of the Launceston Cup. We'll cover that all on Going Greyhounds this morning. First of all, we'll go back and listen to the big three events at the Meadows on Saturday night. And first of all, we'll take the Tem Lee, the $100,000 to the winner race. And the favourite was Orson Allen at $2.40.
And racing out very fast there, Orson Allen near the inside, going over to Hurry Baruga, Brett to tackle. In behind them there, My Redeemer, out of the straight. It's a great race up front now. Baruga Brett's trying to get across and did so, going to the back straight. A length and a half, Orson Allen, followed by Hasten Sally up to third. Then My Redeemer the outside, four lengths away came Buck's Future, followed by Poke the Bear, third last, well back Cosmic Bonus and Circle of Dreams. The leaders, Baruga Brett though, two and a half to three out in front over Orson Allen, and Baruga Brett is going to win the Tem Lee in great fashion. Orson Allen second, third Hasten Sally, I'd say. Then
Yeah, Baruga Brett claims the Tem Lee for Brooke Ennis, taking out the big $100,000 first prize, adding to the Group 1 Silver Chief of the Meadows back in January, and now continuing on the winning way at the Meadows with the Tem Lee win there at Group 1 level on Saturday night. One of the other features over the middle distance was the Rookie Rebel over the 600 metres, and a couple of mid-week scratchings saw the field reduced there to a field of seven, and the favourite was Deliver for Shona and Jason Thompson.
Ready and racing and going out fast. There would have been Deliver box number three. The favourite pounced on the early lead and down the straight with a lap to go. It's Deliver the leader by a length and a half clear. Slingshot Hammer three lengths away. Then came Benali up to third. Going up on the inside there on the improved Blackjack Neo, followed then by Blue Striker. Then came Cash Point and two or three away. Neo Cleo going down the back straight. Deliver the leader led by a length and a half now. Over Slingshot Hammer two lengths further back. Blackjack Neo gap in the race and a Blue Striker followed well back by Neo Cleo. Turn for home though, and Deliver is nicely clear, and Deliver's going to win the Rookie Rebel. Second Blackjack Neo, third is Blue Striker, followed then by Cash Point on the outside.
Deliver for Shona and Jason Thompson, taking out the 600 metre Rookie Rebel on Saturday night in the time of 34:19, defeating Blackjack Neo and Blue Striker. Interesting that Deliver will drop back to the 525 metres for the heats of the Australian Cup next Saturday night. And rounding out the big three on Saturday night at the Meadows was the 725-metre Zoom Top. The favourite was the resuming Tornado Tears.
And racing, and Tornado Tears on the outside began okay. Way fast, Black Impala is going to lead, settling down from Pogo Dorado. Tornado Tears wide around the outside, getting up on the inside. Blue Moon Rising, they were followed by Moment of the Jive. Five lengths away then came Rip and Sam. Second last with a lap to go, Double G. Last is Bacali. Out of the straight they run now. And the leader here was Black Impala, led by two. In second spot, Blue Moon Rising. Up on the inside, Tornado Tears. They were followed then by Pogo Dorado. A gap then to Moment to Jive. And well back then came Rip and Sam coming off the back straight. And it's still Black Impala, the leader, coming around the outside. Blue Moon Rising with a big run. Tornado Tears going up on the inside. Blue Moon Rising moved up on the outside and took the lead. Tornado Tears kicking in, back. And he's back. And Tornado Tears has won it from Blue Moon Rising, followed then by Rip and Sam and Moment of the Jive, followed then by Bacali.
Tornado Tears in 42:51, lifting off the canvas to beat the New South Wales visitor Blue Moon Rising and Moment to Jive, the WA Greyhound in running in third position. Tornado Tears trained by Master Conditioner Robbie Britton, and we've got Robbie coming online to join us this morning. Rob, good morning and congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, John. Yeah, it was very pleasing.
Rob, did it give you great satisfaction to see what he's been through over the last 5 months to get him back to win on Saturday night?
It's just good to get him back, John. Like you're always hoping to get him back, because when they do things like cracked hocks, 80 or 90% of them come back no worries whatsoever. But it's that 10% or so that you you hope you don't fall into that category. And so until it actually happens, until he does it, you're sort of you're on edge a bit.
He's desperate for the fence. He began okay, but then wanted to get to that inside, and he just couldn't get there. But a gap came around the home turn, and for a fleeting second, he looked to be going nowhere. But all of a sudden, when he found the gap, he really dived through, and he really showed what he was made of that last little bit.
Yeah, look, he was never going to go around him, was he? He was just looking for the fence. He was looking for that run. And I think in the run to the line, I think he outstayed them more than anything. I think the other two may not have got the 700 as well as he did. So it was pleasing that he actually was ready for the 700, because that was the other question mark. We weren't 100% certain that he was ready for it.
Rob, you said to us a few weeks ago that you could have brought him back earlier, but you've given him the time and got the miles into his legs with several trials, and he capped it off with a 5.25 last week at Sandown, and that is true to testament to your condition of a greyhound. You said you could have rushed him back, but you wanted to give him the time, and he's really come through and shined at that 7.25 first up.
Yeah, look, I never wanted to start him off in the sprint or middle distance. I wanted to start off in the 700, so it was important that we had plenty of miles in the leg. So he has had six or seven trials on the way back. So, as I said, we were quite confident he was ready, but in saying that, you never know until they do it.
I'll ask you the next question. How fit was he going into Saturday night?
Oh, look, I was happy with his fitness. As I say, you can't beat match fitness, though. So I would say, even though I was very happy with his condition, two or three more staying runs, he should improve every time, you'd think.
So he's probably about 75-80% fit at the moment?
I don't think it's that, John. I think it's more about recovery. And then when they're 100% fit, they recover a lot quicker and a lot better. So, but he seems to have pulled up really well. So, as I said, I've got no complaints. I think he's going to go into next week. He's fresh as a daisy, whereas I was a little bit concerned that that run might flatten him, but pretty happy the way he's pulled up.
That's good. So what do you do now in between runs, now that he's had the first hit out over the 7.25?
John, we won't change anything. He'll go in the runs almost every day. He might go for a walk up the bush, down to the beach for a walk in the water, those sort of things. It'll be nothing more than what he does on a normal week's preparation. As I say, I'm confident that he's got the conditioning, and also he's bred to do that. In other words, he's a natural 700-metre runner, whereas there's a lot of dogs that barely get it, and it does take it out of them. And I wouldn't put him in that category. He can run it. He can run it as he's bred to do it.
You've given him the 500 trials, 600 trials, and that for lifting him up to the 7.25 on Saturday night. For a sprinting preparation to a staying preparation, is there much of a difference between runs that you have to work them, Rob? As you say, he's a natural stayer.
Yeah, I think it's more that he's natural, John. Look, the sprinters and the stayers, we don't do a lot different with. I just think, as I said before, you never can make a sprinter a stayer. In other words, they've got to be bred to do it. They've got to be able to do it. It's our job just to make sure they're fit enough to do it when they do go over it.
It's certainly been a great line for owner Mick Ivers. He's had a lot of success with these Tears greyhounds over a number of years now, and he's true testament, another one here.
Yeah, look, the line has been a staying line for many, many years, right through Symmetry, Nelly Noodles, Space Star, and all those. They come through. They're just natural stayers, and you can't beat that. And that's what I said before. You can't take a dog that's a 600-metre dog and say, oh, I'll work him harder and make a stayer of him. It just doesn't happen. You might be able to pinch a race, but you've got to be bred a natural stayer to be able to run it on a regular weekly basis.
Rob, you mentioned Space Star there a moment ago. You've had a great run of success in this race over the last few years. Cheetah Zorro back in 2014, Space Star 2015, Fanta Bale last year, and of course now Tornado Tears. And of course, we're coming into a race that has been renamed after the great Vander Bale, the Stayers Cup. Are you pressing forward to that in the next coming weeks?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it would be lovely to win that. But he will follow the calendar. With the Stayers, you haven't got a lot of options. So you try to, as long as they're fitting well, you'll follow the calendar over the group races over the next few weeks. So that's the first one. And I guess straight after that, hopefully, if he's fitting well, probably go to Perth for the Galaxy. So there's, as I said, there's a calendar you've got to follow, because if you don't, really, you're missing out. There's not a lot of other options.
Yeah, so Perth and then probably back to Sydney around Easter time, and hopefully he's still racing well then, and of course on to the Sandown Cup, and then perhaps back for another tilt in Brisbane mid-year.
Yeah, look, that's the plan, John, but you know, you look at next week and that's what all you can go from there, because you know, greyhounds are like, you've got them 1 week and you never know about the next week. But I've got the fingers crossed that we can keep him going for quite a while yet.
No doubt you've been over the injury, and you look at it daily, I would gather, and he's had no problems since returning.
No, I'm confident that's completely healed, and it's been a good job. As I said, some dogs pull up after an injury like that, and they'll get arthritis in it, and you've got a maintenance issue as well. But he's got no soreness whatsoever, so I'm really happy how it's healed.
Well, it looks on and on now for the great Batman, as he's affectionately known. How did they come up with the name Batman as the kennel name?
You just have to look at his a photo of him, John. He looks like he's got a cape on his head with his black markings on his white face. So that's where that's come from.
All righty. Well, as you say, it was great to see him back on Saturday night. Everybody was in anticipation, and for a little while we didn't think he was going to get there, but his class got him through, and it was great to see him back. And as you say, he'll be returning to the Meadows over the next couple of weeks in the Vander Bale Super Stayers, and he's been installed a $2.10 favourite to win that race, ahead of Poco Dorado $4, Double G $8, Bacali at $8, Veloce Nero at $8, Blue Moon Rising at $8. So the punters have tumbled into him already at $2.10 for that Vander Bale. Rob, just before we let you go, you and a group of mates have just returned from a holiday over in Ireland. You can tell us a little bit about that. You went over for the coursing series.
Yeah, well, a chap that used to work for me, Thomas O'Donovan, he's back in Ireland now, and he asked if we were interested in buying into a coursing dog. So there was 10 of us decided to have a little bit of fun. So we bought that, and we had a hell of a lot of luck first up, because very difficult to get into the National Coursing Derby, because you have to win a trial stake throughout the year, which is to beat 63 other dogs, really. And we got in, and we got down to the third round. We got round to the last 16 dogs in the Derby. So we had a really good ride and a really good few days, simply because our dog kept going well through the series. So we didn't win it, but we really enjoyed it and had some fun.
It was a good experience for all.
Yeah, look, it is. It's a wonderful experience. Anyone wants to see raw greyhound racing, it's over 3 days, they get 40,000 people there, and it's just a wonderful experience looking back maybe what used to happen 50, 60 years ago.
All right, Rob, thanks for joining us this morning, and give Batman a pat for us, and we wish you well in the rest of the campaign.
Okay, thanks, John. Bye.
That's Robbie Britton, the trainer of Tornado Tears, and great to see him back on Saturday night. Of course, next Saturday night we'll see the heats of the Australian Cup, and Poke the Bear for the final has been stalled equal favourite with Orson Allen at $4, My Redeemer at $8, Baruga Brett, now that it's won the Tim Lee, is into $8, Black Opium beaten at Ballarat on Saturday night, $12. She's Gifted at $12, Miss Splendor Miro at $12, and Cash Point at $14. Speaking of Cash Point and others, trained by Anthony Azzopardi, and Anthony's coming online to join us this morning. Anthony, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. How are you, mate?
Good. Cash Point, not a lot of luck in the Tem Lee there the other night.
No, not a lot of luck, but it was a really good run. I was quite happy how he finished it off, and no, he ran a nice race.
He'll be heading towards the Australian Cup next week?
Yeah, mate, yeah, he's going to the Australian Cup next week, and fingers crossed he gets a few breaks in the race, and yeah, you never know, he might make his way to the final.
Good to hear. Now, we've got you on this morning to review the heats of the Bulleye Gold Cup from Saturday night. The three heats there were taken out by Nervous and Weird in 26.33, the fastest heat winner. Feral Frankie for Ray Smith coming from last in 26.43. And you were able to win with Major Riot in 26.42, basically jumping third and then eventually getting to the lead and holding off Black Forge in the concluding stages. I thought a very tenacious run by Major Riot first up there at Bulleye on Saturday night.
Yeah, Johnny, it was a good run. He's never been there. It was his first big trip away from home, so it was a lot going against him on Saturday night, but he handled it really well. And yeah, no, look, I'm very happy, and I'm happy where he's boxed. I think he can get left alone where he is with the other dog on the outside of him. So, no, he's certainly got his chance.
Yeah, Anthony, the box draw for the final is 1 Catch Me Curly, 2 Black Forge, 3 Nervous and Weird, 4 Major Ride, 5 Double Tack, 6 Pindari Express, 7 Hardaway Harder, and number 8 Feral Frankie, the reserves, 1 Hour Parking, and Rockstar Bev. So with Nervous and Weird, the quickest heat winner drawn on your inside, Pindari Express, who unfortunately blew the start and got back and ran on again, is in the 6, Black Forge in the 2, and Catch Me Curly's probably well boxed on the inside. What about your thoughts there, drawing the middle, box 4 with Major Riot?
Yeah, look, he likes to be in the middle of the track. That's where he sort of races, in the middle of the track. It's a tough race, obviously. You know, they're every dog can win that race. A bit of luck, but look, I'm happy where they box, both of my dogs. Nervous and Weird is definitely the one to beat. You know, he's probably going to give me a little bit of room anyway, because he likes to get to the fence as well, looks of it, on his races. So, yeah, look, I'm happy where they are.
He's had a couple of runs over the 500 metres, so dropping back here to the 472 metres, but that'll stand him in good stead, because he was able to fight on very, very strongly on Saturday night to hold off that Greyhound Black Forge over the concluding stages.
Yeah, he did. You know, like, Black Forge broke the record here not long ago, as we know, 400, so to beat him on the line is a great effort.
Anthony, you'll be returning back to New South Wales in a couple of weeks when they have the Richmond Derby and Oaks series, and by all reports of what is coming for these series, it's going to be one hell of a series. Of course, you took out the 2017 Richmond Derby with Nangar Flame and the Oaks last year with Blue Sky Wright, and you're bringing a number back to New South Wales for the heats of the Derby, mainly coming up in a couple of weeks' time, including Cash Point.
Yeah, I'm going to bring Cash Point. You know, Fabio, unfortunately, my broquet won't be coming. He broke a hock at Sandown last week, so... But there were the three I'm going to bring. But, yeah, no, look, you know, Fabio and Cash Point, I think that's one track that really would suit them. Yeah, so fingers crossed, and we'll give them a trial there later on, and we'll see how they go just before the series.
Anthony, on Saturday night at Ballarat, we saw the running of the Oaks final taken out by Crimson Vixen for Norm McCulloch there in 25 seconds even, defeating Time to Talk for Angela Langton and Angela Galea in second, and She's for Us, Jeff Britton, in third. But out of the Derby, I reckon this was one of the best races for the young dogs we've seen for a very, very long time. I think a lot of potential is going to come out of this race. You had Whiskey Riot there. You basically led to the last couple of strides, but run down by another greyhound that's been tearing up the sand there in Melbourne, in Flynn, for Harry Manolitis. You ran second with Whiskey Riot. Jabrian a third. You had Fernando's Riot in fourth, and the National Derby winner, Axel Footloose, back in fifth position. So come a couple of months down the track, I think these greyhounds are going to be the next up-and-coming greyhounds we see all around Australia. Your thoughts on, first of all, Whiskey Riot's run?
Oh, I thought it was huge, his run. You know, a freak greyhound beat him. Like, the sections were there. The run home was huge, and he's run up to what he can run, you know. He nearly broke 25 himself, but look, I was really wrapped with his run, and so was his little brother. I was wrapped with him, Fernando Wright. He found the line really well. Like, he ran 25-11 getting beat. That's how good that final was, you know. So, look, there's no doubt all them dogs, definitely our future of racing in big races there. You know, some of them are already achieved Group 1 races already, but like our bloke, he's probably, what, he's had 9 starts and he's won nearly 50,000 prize money. So it's a, he's going really well. I couldn't complain about him.
Anything on the horizon for Whiskey Ride coming up as well?
Yeah, got a couple I want to bring for the Brisbane Derby later on. I think that's in May, if I'm right.
Yeah.
He's going for the... His next target's the Shepparton Classic. That's where he's going.
So the Shep Classic, and then eventually you'll travel to Brisbane for the Queensland Derby.
Yep, that's it.
Where you've had a lot of success before, and before we let you go this morning, we better ask you about Zambora Brocky, because you had a lot of success, as I mentioned, in Brisbane with Zambora Brocky. You retired him late last year, and how's he been travelling at stud?
He's going really good, mate. Like, his pups are flying. I've got a really good litter racing here, still the deal. He's probably a little bit better than Whiskey Wright. He's in Wednesday, but look, he's definitely going to make us a size. His breaking in reports have been huge. People start to use him. He's that size on ice at the moment. So, no, Charlie and that, everyone's happy with him. And, no, look, he's going really well at stud now. A few more bitches are going to him, so it's going to help his stud career.
Now, you made the move to send him to size on ice earlier in the year, and how's that tracking along?
Oh, look, Charlie did that. The owner, Charlie, he's a little bit too busy rearing pups and stuff, so he decided to send him there, he said. So, no, that look is a good move. They're very professional there, and there's no doubt he will succeed.
All right, Anthony, before we let you go, what about one for our punters from the kennel that they can follow?
Well, definitely sealed the deal, I reckon. He's in a pretty hard race, but I think he can handle that great. So, yeah, Wednesday, seal the deal, I think, will be the one to follow.
All righty, so we'll get our money early, seal the deal on Wednesday.
No worries, mate.
All right, Anthony, thanks for joining us this morning, and good luck and congratulations on the recent efforts for your team. They're absolutely flying at the moment, and we'll watch for interest, seal the deal Wednesday, and your runner's coming up to Richmond in a couple of weeks' time.
Yep, no worries. Thank you, mate.
That's Anthony Azzopardi joining us this morning here on Going Greyhounds. At Wentworth Park on Saturday night, King Crocious remained unbeaten, 6-for-6, and he was able to clock 30.02 just outside the 32nd barrier there. He had to pull out all stops for trainer Jason Magri, but King Crocious was able to make it 6-for-6 at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. And speaking of Wentworth Park, don't forget they won't be racing this Wednesday night. There's a remediation work needing to be in preparation for the upcoming Golden Easter Egg series. So this coming Wednesday's meeting has been transferred to Bulleye. This Wednesday, Bulleye will be racing. Well, tonight in Tasmania at Launceston, we have the Launceston Cup final, and coming on to preview that big final tonight is Brennan Ryan. Brennan, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. Another great final coming up tonight, and this field, I mean, it's a great mix of local and interstate, and I'm definitely looking forward to race time.
Just quickly running through the results of the heat last week. Despacito in 29.98. We had Hello Rhonda 29.78. A Be Like Bill 29.85. Two Bills in 29.98. Buckle Up Rose successful in 30.03. We had Headspace winning in 29.83. And the final heat to Corey Cody in 30.20. The box draw sees tonight 1 Hello Rhonda, 2 Bills, 3 Corey Cody, 4 Despacito, 5 Buckle Up Rose, 6 Brandy Alexander, 7 Headspace, and 8 is Be Like Bill. Tab.com.au goes up with Hello Rhonda at $3.40, Be Like Bill at $4.20, Buckle Up Rose $4.60, Despacito at $7, Headspace at $7, Brandy Alexander at $7, Corey Cody $11, 2 Bills at $26. We might take them box draw order and just get a quick comment from you. Hello Rhonda, 29.78, the fastest heat winner, comes up with box one in the final.
Oh, great run, John, in the heat last week. She's got the right draw, and I think if she can get the right breaks for Robin Grubb, the family won a cup in 2011 with Fisherman, and this will be another great chance for him to claim the trophy.
We've got number two, Two Bills, a heat winner last week in 29 and 78. Has got two wins throughout its career from six goes out of the two alley.
Look, he's a former Tasmanian Derby winner. I'd like to see him a bit off the fence, out wide, but he's strong box two. He's the oldest dog in the field. And look, the connections and Gavin Whitney couldn't be any prouder to have the dog in the race.
There was a bit of rain around late in the night last week, and Corey Cody was able to win the last heat in 30 and 20, backing up from winning the Devonport Cup, trying to make it the Launceston Cup tonight. Your thoughts from box number three for Corey Cody, the Queensland-owned?
Oh, he's done a tremendous job for Eric Haldane and Norma Dacey, John. Look, to get him in there to the final, it's a great achievement by Eric, and he'll be the sixth dog to complete the Cup double, and I think, look, if he can get up within the first four, it'd be a great chance.
Number four, Despacito, 29.98 heat winner last week, has had the three wins from five goes from box number four, of course, late last year, made the Hobart 1000 final.
Yes, he's been a great dog for the Thompson family. They've owned and bred him, and Ted Medhurst is the trainer for tonight's final, and Ted's synonymous with the Cup. He's won four editions of the race, going back with 1990 with Blazanka's Flyer, and he's got a great chance there with Despacito. He clocked in 29.98. Look, if he can get up on the pace, again, he'll need luck in that first in the first turn, but, you know, he's in there with a great chance to give Ted, hopefully, his fifth Cup final.
Five, Buckle Up Rose, is going for four on end. A heat winner last week in 30.03.
She's coming back to, look, she'll need to be at that 29.56 PB, but that's going to be a big ask. I know the Johnsons have got her ready to go for the final. Look, she's drawn ideally. Despacito, he loves to go to the rail. I think from box five, she's going to run a real cheek of a race, and, yeah, it's going to be a great story if Buckle Up Rose can win this, because it'll be the first second group runner for Buckle Up Wes as a sire.
Number six, the Queenslander, Brandy Alexander, for Tom, the Prince of Alice, was able to get into the final as the fastest second, running 29.80 last week. And I noticed, Brennan, that has never started from box number six in her career.
That's a superstitious side of thing, isn't it? Look, I think she's going to be a lot better with the improved run from last week. Danny had a box-to-box trial coming in. Tom is here with her. He's been here since Friday. He's happy with her. And, look, I think, you know, with the improved run, it's going to be interesting how she handles the draw, but I think she's going to be in a great chance.
Number seven, Headspace, for Debbie Cannon, coming out of the same alley, it won the heat last week in 29.83.
Yeah, another great little bitch for Debbie Cannon and Leslie Kenyon. Debbie's won a cup in 2014 with Varco, and look, Headspace done a tremendous job to win there in 29.83 last week, and she's not out of the equation, that's for sure. And it's going to be interesting how she'll handle this, because this is where she'll step right up in company for a big event like this.
Number eight in the final is Be Like Biller. He'd win her last week, 29.85, starting from box eight for Blake Purcell.
Look, it's a great mix of the young and the old in this series, John. Blake Purcell will be the youngest trainer we've had in the Launceston Cup in the years gone by. He's got a great chance here with Be Like Bill off box eight. The family are very happy the way he's going, and the owners as well. If he can get the clean run from out wide, he's going to be right in the thick of it.
Brennan, we've gone through the eight runners. What about your 1, 2, 3, 4 for the final?
I've gone through this as best as I can, John, and I've gone with the local Hello Rhonda on top to beat Be Like Bill, Brandy Alexander, and Buckle Up Rose.
So 1, 8, 6 and 5. Right. Your thoughts with Hello Rhonda? You think she'll just use box one to full advantage in the final?
Well, look, you know, box one adds a lot of advantage to any greyhound in this race. She's, you know, she's only due to improve, not overly, but I think she'll be a lot better for the run here. And look, John, it's a bit of superstitious. A Launceston dog hasn't won this race in 18 years, and I think tonight this is a chance where we'll rewrite the record books.
All righty. Brennan, good luck to yourself and the club there tonight at Launceston with the running of the Launceston Cup. I'm sure it's going to be a great race, and another greyhound will add to the history of the Launceston Cup tonight. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, John.
That's Brennan Ryan. joining us this morning to preview the Launceston Cup. Just before we wrap it up this morning, in Queensland on Saturday night, they had the four semi-finals of the Rich Vince Curry Memorial Maiden Series. A couple of outsiders getting up there and a couple of surprise results. The first semi was taken out by Spotted Wolf for John Clancy in 30 and 59, defeating Exciting Times for Tony Brett. The second heat was won by Blue Diva for Ray and Mary Berman in 30 and 60, defeating Mungo Amobigo for Chris Reardon. The third semi was won by TNT, giving Chris Reardon two into the final in 30 and 87, defeating Shaw Reno for Tony Appap. And the fourth semi-final, a real blowout to Hollow Words for Amber Booty, paying upwards of $68 on Tab Tote there on Saturday night, won in 31-13, defeating Pearls R Us for John McCarthy. The short price favourite there, the quickest heat winner from the previous week, Bago Bluff, missing the start and in first turn trouble, missing a place there in the fourth and final semi-final. The box draw for the Vince Curry final, $40,000 to the winner next Saturday night. One Pearls R Us, two Shaw Reno, three Spotted Wolf, four Blue Diva, five Hollow Words, six Moby Go, seven TNT, and number eight Exciting Times, the reserves there, Pines Pick and Jimmery Dynamite. Good luck to the Ipswich Club and another greyhound, as we said, with Launceston going to write their names into Vince Curry history next Saturday night in Brisbane. Well, Cozzy, that's another edition of the Going Greyhounds program, and we'll review all the heats of the Australian Cup next Monday morning, together with that Vince Curry final and the final of the Bulleye Gold Cup next week. I'm sure there's going to be great racing again during the week, and we'll review it all again next Monday morning.